You know, it's amazing what God has done. God has blessed us in every which way. And then he brings all his days to focus. Last Sunday, we focused on the revelation. And the name was observed because Reformation was on Thursday. And now Sunday is All Saints Day observed because we missed All Saints Day. Maybe we were a little busy. Maybe we didn't have it on our calendars. Maybe it really doesn't matter to us anymore. All Saints Day is November 1st. All Saints Day was tradition 500 years ago. The churches were packed on All Saints Day. The reason Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the Catholic door or bulletin board is because he did it on October 31st, because the churches would be filled with people, and he didn't write it for the normal person. He wrote it for a debate with the hirelings, the professors, those who knew Latin and German and whatever language. But we know what happened is that somebody took it down, read it, translated it into German, and distributed it. So the 95 Theses were not in a debate anymore. But the focus is All Saints Day. And the focus is you. Is you as a child of God. Because I'm going to struggle again with the Latin. The Latin is Simul Justus et Peccator, which means sinner yet saint. So that's a definition of you. That's who you are. You are a sinner. You have sinned in thought, word, and deed. You have sinned in falling into temptation. Oh, yes. It started in the garden with Adam and Eve. And God came walking in the garden and called out their names, and they were hiding. And then both Adam and Eve came out, and they knew, and God knew that they knew because they were covered. And he said, "What happened?" And he looked at Adam and he said, "Hey, I didn't do it. The one you gave me did it." He looked at Eve and Eve said, "Hey, I didn't do it. It was the serpent who beguiled me." And we continue to do that this day. We continue to pass on the sin and not take any responsibility. We tell the world that it's the world's fault. We tell the friend, it's the friend's fault because they did this. And it was not to God's standard or word. We keep passing it on. Why can't we take responsibility for our sin? We're greedy. We're jealous. We're envious. All those types of things. Yet we're saints. Catholic Church goes through a rather long, arduous investigation of a person before they're called saint. But really, the definition of a saint is those who believe in Jesus Christ, who have faith in Jesus. So to bring that in perspective, reading from the Apostle Paul, Ephesians 1, first verse, first chapter, first verse, to all the saints in Ephesus. Philippians 1:1, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi. Colossians 1:1, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. 1 Corinthians to the church in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus to be saints. And 2 Corinthians, to the church of God that is in Corinth with all the saints. We have to have that little picture telling us we're saints. Yet we don't feel like saints, do we? Our definition of saints is someone who is very holy, walks around with a halo over the head, with the hands clasped. No, the definition of saint is you. Definition of saint is that you are a forgiven sinner. I want you to remember that you are a forgiven sinner even though you have sinned. And you are in need of that forgiveness. You are in need of that forgiveness because you know you have fallen in sin. And yet you trust that God will forgive you your sins because of Christ. And that's why we also come up to the altar rail and have communion. Because it's the assurance of our forgiveness. It's the assurance of heaven. Because we get assurance. For a little on up, we've had to have that assurance. We had to know that we were loved by our parents. We needed to know that we were loved by our spouse. We needed to have that assurance so that we will feel good about ourselves and encouraged. So God does that assurance when he reaches out to you, the wafer, and says, "This is Christ's body given for you." That's the assurance that you have forgiveness and eternal life. When the wine that has been blessed and given to you as Christ's blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins, you have trust and confidence that God has forgiven you all your sins. All Saints Day, today, is to acknowledge that we are sinners, that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, but also to acknowledge that we are forgiven and we are given that which lifts up. And we are given that foundation of Christ the Lord. So in our confidence, in our lifting up, we hear that trust and faith that God has given us. And so we have a new life. A new life that lives in the Lord. And this new life that lives in the Lord is pulled in tension quite often. We want to walk the way of our Lord. But also the world is tugging at us. With all that's going on, our lives are getting split. We're in a tension. We're in a tension because, you know, this Tuesday we're going to have an election day. An election day that all people, Christian, believers and non-believers, are going to come together and vote. And it's a tension of who we're going to vote for. It's a tension when we hear all of these things being said. It's a tension tearing us apart when we hear other people tearing other people apart. Because that's not our way to live. But yet, we got to remember, we're living in a sinful world. We're living among sinful people because that's who we are. We're sinful. Yet, we're saints because we believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now you see the tension that we have in our lives. And it just doesn't arise on Sunday morning. It arises every single day of our lives. And that's why Luther, in the Catechism, when you read about the baptism, when you read about baptism, that we should think about our baptism every single day, because that ugly old man is standing right behind us with a sledgehammer, ready to hit us over the head because we're such a nutcase. Okay? Luther wants us to remind us that we are a renewed person. Paul wanted us to be reminded when he wrote in his second letter to the Corinthian church at the 5th chapter, the 17th verse, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has been passed. The new has come." And in Galatians chapter 3, toward the end of that chapter, he says, "For all of those who have been baptized in Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." So you're clothed with Christ, even though you do bad things, even though you do dark things, even though that you're a terrible person because you have sinned, that you have been jealous of someone else or envious of someone else's life, you are still a saint because you are redeemed and forgiven in Christ Jesus. And in Christ, you are a new person. It's interesting that this last Friday, my devotion, and I was reading Isaiah chapter 64, and this verse stuck out about newness and people. And Isaiah is writing this verse. He says, "We are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of the good Lord." We are all the good work of the Lord. All of us have been created. And we have been created as a living creature, renewed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we belong to him. In Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, Isaiah says, "About not fearing, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you walk through the waters, I will be with you. In the rivers, they will not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor will the flames scorch you. For I am the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." So Paul, the Apostle Paul, resonates that thought when he writes the 14th chapter of the book of Romans. In verse 7, he says, you know, if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. We're sinners, yet saints. We are believers. We have faith. We have strength. God is the potter. We are the clay. We are renewed in the blood and body of Jesus Christ. We are saved. We are given that encouragement. And we are living saints who pass on our faith to those around us. In Christ's holy name, amen.